Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a little bit tense. It's my first time to deliver a message in Omaha. First of all, I would like to thank the brethren for giving me this opportunity. The topic for today is the power of humility. First is for me. It's applicable for myself and to all of us. The Word of God is applicable to all of us. Every time that I deliver a message in Mississauga, I first start with a joke. There are three boys who were bragging about their dad. The first boy says, "My dad is so fast. He works in a fire department. He throws the axe, runs, and cuts the axe before it falls down." So the second boy said, "Oh yeah, my dad is a policeman. He fires his gun and catches it before it falls." And the third boy says, "Oh yeah, mine is better than that. My dad is fast. He works in the city hall. And he goes off from work at 5, but arrives at home at 4:30. So he's more faster than anybody." The world today, it's kind of confusing, especially for the younger ones, because the information is so wide that people will become confused. They become confused which one is right and which one is wrong. The world says, believe in yourself. But in John chapter 7, verse 38, it says, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." The world says, follow your heart. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupts. Is it that right that the heart is corrupt? Because sometimes you can hear that, just follow your heart. And, you know, not all hearts are pure. The world says, enjoy life as much as you want. But the Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The world says, good luck and fingers crossed. You always hear that. But Jeremiah 29, 11 to 12, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. The world says, be proud of yourselves. But James 4, verse 6, it says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Proverbs 18, verse 12, it says, before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. What is humility? The dictionary says it is a modest or low view of one's own importance. The feeling or attitude that you have no special importance that makes you better than others. Others will say lack of pride. Webster says freedom from pride or arrogance. C.S. Lewis is a famous author. He says humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. Humility is thinking more of others. Humble people are so focused on serving others. They don't always think of themselves. We know people who are famous who are full of humility. One of that is Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Pope John Paul II. Is it okay to be proud? It's natural, right, to be proud? But the Bible is clear that it's okay to encourage and admonish each other and to take pride in the good works of God and His creation. We can be proud to be children of God, but we cross into sin when it revolves around ourselves. According to John Piper, pride is universal. We all deal with it. But pride filters down into the core of worry and anxiety, exposing a lack of trust in God. It is over-concern with ourselves, a disposition to exalt self, to get above others, to hide our defects, and to pass for more than we are. And that's true, right? We show that we are better than others. It's so tempting to do that. And there's no exception to that, including me. We can see the different characters in the Bible. It was mentioned during the Bible study about Ruth. Ruth, we know the story of Ruth. She was an obedient and faithful daughter-in-law of Naomi. And when she was advised, or she was told that you go to the field of Boaz to pick up leftovers in Boaz's field. Now, when you pick those leftovers, it's kind of difficult, right? It's kind of difficult because you feel that you're in the lowest position of the society. But she obeyed her mother-in-law. And it shows the humility of Ruth. Abigail, the wife of Nabal, he was the richest. He was rich during those times. And the story goes about David, who was the people of David was guarding the field. And at the same time, guarding the animals of Nabal. And when David asked Nabal, that, you know, if you can give us some portion for my man, he got upset. Nabal got upset. And David promised to annihilate the family of Nabal and his man. So when Abigail heard about it, he went to David. She submit herself to him and said to him, "Lord, I am your servant. Please forgive my husband, who is foolish man, and spare my family." Because of her humility, they were spared. Story of Zacchaeus. We always hear the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 9, or 1 to 10. Zacchaeus is a small guy, but he is a smart one because he became a chief of all tax collectors. So when you're small, you cannot, you know, when he heard that Jesus is passing by, he cannot see him. He heard about him. He heard about his good things, his miracles, his teaching, because he considered, the people consider him as a prophet. So he was curious about Jesus. Because he's smart that he cannot, see him when he passed by because there are too many people. He had a plan. Go ahead of Jesus, look for a tree that he can climb, and see him face to face. We know the story that Jesus looked up on him in the tree, and mention his name. They haven't met with each other yet, but Jesus mentioned his name. So it confirmed about his belief that this is really a prophet. And he asked him to come down and invite him to his house to eat. He's a rich man. He has all the possession. He has all the pride that he can boast. But he humbled himself. He was touched by what Jesus has been doing to the people. Paul, we know Paul. Paul is a learned man. He was trained by the famous teacher during that time, Gamaliel. Paul can boast about his family, who was well off. He can boast about his knowledge about the Bible. He can boast about the revelation about Jesus blinded him and hearing his word, his voice. But when you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it says, I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, the spirit of humility. Isaac. You know the story of Isaac? It was mentioned a while ago. Isaac and Saul. Isaac deceived his brother by imitating his skin with a goat's skin. So Esau tried to kill him, so he ran away. But when he became successful, has his own family, has his own possession, became rich, he went back and met Esau. Did he claim that I'm rich now? I'm proud of my accomplishment. No. He humbled himself. He addressed his brother, my Lord. Again, you can see the power of humility there. Moses. We know Moses. The Israelites until up to today revered him as the greatest prophet. But in spite of the background of Moses, he had his education under the family of Pharaoh. In spite of the status that he experienced, adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then God chose him to be the leader of the Israelites. He can brag about that. He can brag the revelation of God in the firing bush. He can brag about his knowledge of the how to be a grandson of a Pharaoh. He can brag about his abilities. But in Numbers 12, verse 3, it says, Moses is very meek, more than all men that were on the face of the earth. Let's go to John chapter 13, verse 1 to 15. John 13, verse 1 to 15. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour has come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper, laid aside his garment, and girded himself with a towel. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not know now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who has bath does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is clean all over, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, you are not all clean. When he had washed their feet and taken his garment and resumed his place, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. In Luke 22, verse 25, Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactor. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Romans 12, verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And that's true, right? We can be tempted about our education, about our profession, about our accomplishment, about our physical material. We can be easily get tempted about all of these things, and we become proud of what we have accomplished. The story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We know that story. Pharisee has his legitimate reason that he's better. He's good. Because he goes to the temple, he prays regularly, he gives alms, he studies the Word of God. But the tax collector knows about his weaknesses. He knows that he's imperfect. He knows that he has sinned against God. So he bowed down before God. He humbled himself before God, that God will forgive him of all his weaknesses. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Proverbs 27, verse 2, let other praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. Is it true? Is this true? We can admire people, but we don't like people who keep on praising himself. And this scripture is telling that let others praise you, not praising your own self. Our last verse today is in Matthew 22, verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Because of this great service, many lives are transformed. He gave us hope. He gave us freedom. He gave us justice. He gives us peace. And that's the power of humility. That's the power of love. Isn't it not great because of his love towards mankind? Is it that great? Sometimes, or most of the world doesn't understand that there is a God who humbled himself. They don't understand that there is this Jesus whom the Christian world claims that he's a man, but also a God. But the scripture is trying to say, and God is trying to make us understand the meaning of true love. God is trying to show to us the true meaning of humility, that we as His followers should imitate. Because for human beings, it's very difficult to have this kind of spirit. That's why we are here in the church, trying to be reminded what is right, because we're imperfect. We want to hear the words of God over and over again, not only during Sundays, but every day in our lives. That's the Bible says, that we should be exposed by the words of God every day in our lives. Because if not, we will get easily be tempted of doing what is wrong. We become proud of ourselves, and sin will creep slowly by slowly until we come to the point that we don't care anymore. We will just do what we want, because that's what my heart tells me. And that heart is deceitful. Brothers and sisters, we're trying our best to encourage one another because we are imperfect. That we need God in our lives. That will remind us that He is a good God.